It is Sunday, the 28th of June, 2015, and this is episode 250 of Digital Outbox. And 6 years we've been doing this. What the hell? I am Chris hosting. I wasn't hosting on episode one because Ian was. Hello, Ian.
I was going to say good evening. Good afternoon, Chris.
It feels like evening. It's got that evening feeling already.
It's just wrong.
It's a Sunday afternoon.
It's confused me. My brain is like, nope, it should be evening. It should be wet and dark outside. Instead, it's bright and sunny.
6 years and 250 episodes is too much for your brain to compute.
Oh, God. Okay.
We should probably get a life at some point. Here we go. So it's been a while since we actually did our last podcast due to one reason or another. So we've actually had the whole of E3 and we've got quite a lot of sort of normal tech news to get through. So we're going to split this in half. We're going to start with the tech news and then we're going to finish off with the E3 sort of roundup, what we thought about E3 and as it went through.
Basically, this is probably the first episode where when you said, let's head on to the news and then we do nothing else.
Yeah, so now we've got something. So let's start with the news. Apple has changed its policy because Taylor Swift shoved her foot down and started moaning. So this is where Apple were offering a 3-month trial to their new music service to everyone, and they weren't going to pay royalties over that period. And Taylor Swift came in and slammed down and said, no, I'm going to get paid for that period or I'm not going to give you any music. And Apple said, okay, chill out, we'll do it.
Pretty much. I was actually quite surprised that Apple, the size that they are, all the kind of stuff that they've done, maybe this is just the organization there, but they were really playing kind of hardball, you know, on not a tremendous amount of money. You know, it's such a big service, such a big thing. You know, this is all coming on Tuesday, so we're only a couple of days away, and we're not going to pay any money.
One of those things, though, that can escalate pretty damn quickly. And, you know, she's got a point. Why? You know, if you're offering a service and want to give it free away, why do I have to pay for that for you? I think they knew it was could become a storm and kept it at the storm in the teacup level by just saying, fine, we'll pay you. We have really got enough money to do this, so that's fine.
I must admit, at first I first felt it was all PR. You know, Sunday morning she puts a blog post out, yeah. And she has very powerful music industry, whether you like her music or not, or you think she's just a kid or whatever, she's clearly
well, she
not.
Well, she's already thrown the toys at the pram because of Spotify, hasn't she?
Yep.
So she removed her stuff from there because it wasn't paying her enough or whatever. So.
And she's very much taken the view that she is rich beyond wildest dreams. It's not about her making money, it's about the artists that's starting out. You know, so if I was, you know, me and you are going to launch a band and Apple aren't going to give us any money, whereas she's obviously...
Especially if we've just launched and 3 months is going to be your sales period.
You're stuffed.
Potentially. Yeah, and if you hit big in this during this period, then it's like, oh, I didn't get any money for that. I still don't... It's not obviously affecting sales of your music. It's just the streaming royalties, as it were.
Yes. And I must admit,
we're probably talking pennies still.
Yeah, and I flipped between being a PR thing because it was on a Sunday... And she looks great for posting it, and everybody was like, haha, like Apple are going to do anything. And then, like, 6 hours later, Apple are like, whoa, Taylor.
It could just been a very well coordinated PR,
yep.
To be honest. It could well have been that because they know that she's already fallen out with Spotify.
Exactly.
And hey, let's get the attention back on us.
So, everybody's talking about Taylor Swift and Apple, and then everybody's talking about magnanimous Apple and how Taylor's, you know, done what she's had to do and stood up for everybody.
So and then, of course, the Twitter came up. Clear came up with a massive meme story then, didn't it? It's brilliant.
But at the same time, it was all on a Sunday evening and they were all kind of rushed around talking to press. So again, it had that feeling of, hey, we better do something here.
Yeah. There you go. And it seems like independents are now happy as well.
Yes.
Because of all this stuff.
And exactly. You know, I was just going to say, there's a couple that there seems to be like there's a couple of big label bodies that represent thousands of independent labels who initially were, you know, don't sign up, we shouldn't be doing this, and they turned after this and said, yep, we now back it. And Pharrell was coming out as an exclusive, and Beats One Radio Service starts Tuesday, and they're already talking about all the different shows. Like Elton John's going to have a show, and
really?
Yeah, so he's going to do like an hour long. You know, where he'll play his favorite tracks and. There's a few other artists and groups have already announced that they're going to have, because there's only three DJs and there's no way three DJs can cover 24 hours.
No, and we'll see how long it all lasts. But you're right, there'd be imagine three DJs doing relay though. we've got another song.
Exactly. 8 hours gone. I can hand it over. Yeah. And they're also doing things like they've got exclusive interviews. So Eminem's the first one that Zane Lowe's interviewing.
It's easy to keep enthusiasm up for the first 3 months until you realise that no one really listens. And after that 3 month free fit, I know I'm being over exaggerated, but
I think there seems to be too many, you know, big names. I don't just mean artists, but I mean, you know, like obviously, you know, radio industry experts that have went to Apple and seem to be.
It's all fine, but the reason that radio fragments into all its little genres is because people like listening to a genre of music, and they're kind of going, we're not having a genre, we're just going to play good music, whoever defines what good is. But that does mean that, you know, someone might think that Celine Dion is really great and play that lots, and then you've only got one radio station, you haven't got another one to turn over to, have you? So
they've called it Beats.
I know you like Celine Dion. I mean, you turn in
absolutely, and I mean they've called it Beats One, I think, for a reason. This is obviously their toe in the water, and they expect it to grow, and we'll know in a couple of days because it launches Tuesday.
We will find out who.
So I think it's Tuesday 4 or 5 o'clock our time, and I think the radio station starts 6 o'clock.
Yeah, if it's a massive success, I'm sure they'll have Beats 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever. Yep. Beats R&B. Google Play Music. They've sort of done catch up on this, and they've said, right, you can have our service for free, as long as you're prepared to have streaming ads, basically. But the service remains the same. You can still upload all your own tracks, 50,000 tracks for free. Plus, you can stream their library now, but with adverts in it.
And it's an amazing alternative to. I mean, Apple are definitely there saying actually you'll pay. So Apple don't have a free tier, and I think that's why you are seeing some artists more favouring Apple, because at least they're saying there's no free music. You will pay either.
It'll work for Apple as well. It will only work for Apple as well.
Yeah, exactly. And so Apple are very much saying you've got to pay. Whereas Google are saying, you know, listen to some ads and you can get not just streaming, but also, I mean, the fact you can upload your own tracks on the cloud for free.
Mm. Yes.
Is
yeah, it's great. And then you can listen to it wherever you like. And so, yeah, it's all good. It's a good alternative. We've not really seen any figures. Well, I can't remember having seen, I haven't dug them out, obviously, figures for Google Play and how popular it actually is. I mean, it's something that I dipped into a lot, and then because you're only playing your own music, I went back to Spotify again because it's nice to just listen to some new stuff. That's kind of where I ended up. But this is a nice way around that if you're prepared to listen to those adverts. Elop, he's out at Microsoft. This is the guy that got shunted off to Nokia when that war was going on, and then he came back, and now he's out.
Yeah. And I mean, it's weird because when Microsoft, you know, bought and merged with Nokia, he was seen as a lot of people call him the Trojan horse, you know, that Microsoft had put him in there, and this was all part of some long-term plan. But, you know, we've not heard from him in 2 years.
It almost like they wanted to silo him off more, yeah. Like now, given what the news is now.
Absolutely, because they talked about him as a favourite to take over from Bill Gates, but it seemed to be people outside of Microsoft saw him as a favourite rather than anybody internal. And so
do you watch Silicon Valley?
Yeah.
You know, the guy that keeps getting promoted to all these massive positions on nothing, right? Yeah. It sort of feels a bit like that now, doesn't it? It's this name that kept getting shunted around, and he kept putting in all these different positions, but, you know, maybe now realise he's not really doing it.
But I think every business has one of those.
Of course they do.
I'm seeing no more.
So they've actually combined Windows and device groups together into one unit to try and, I guess, because they're supposed to be this synergy of product. Especially with, you know, the Windows 10 combining it all together. I guess that makes sense to structure yourself around that, but there was no place for him, so he's out. That's fun. Twitter also has had some pretty major shuffle up because Dick Costello has stepped down. This is apparently a long-term planned move. He announced that a while back and gave everyone the chance to sort of know about it before it happened. They've named Jack Dorsey, as the interim CEO. And that's actually seen, it saw a good stock rise based on the announcement. They've been stuck in this weird land of, you know, they've got loads of users. I mean, they've got, I can't remember how many million users it is, 302 million, according to these this stats. And it just doesn't seem quite enough for the service that they're trying to offer, I guess. And it's stagnated. It hasn't grown.
No, I think they've struggled to generate money. And that was a criticism, 3-4 years ago, when everybody was saying you're not making money, and then they've started to put ads in and all these, you know, sponsored tweets and all that kind of stuff. But it's still not, you know, for a company of that size, you know, with that many developers, with that much, you know, it's still not enough for stock markets.
It's almost like they trailblazed this new arena, but they, because, you know, when they had to start making money, when they locked down all the developers, when they stopped people doing features, this, that, and the other, and stopped API usage, it's almost like they lost a lot of sort of faith, and people then found these other, you know, Snapchat type alternatives, which felt to them a bit more fresh and new. So they kind of trailblazed and then missed out on maybe the big numbers that are still to come.
Yeah, it's weird. I still really like Twitter. I still, you know, for that immediate news and stuff, I still think it's far superior. But I think kids just are not into it. They've went elsewhere. You know, Instagram, Snapchat.
My issue with it is it's still this massive thing. You know, there's still that many, you know, millions and millions of users. But somehow that doesn't excite the investors. The investors are always looking for you understand it. They're looking for the next Apple, but you know, you get an Apple once every 50 years.
And as you see, they're looking for the thing that has got nothing right now that they can put money into that is going to be the next 100 million. Whereas Twitter's users are stagnating or just slow growth now. It's almost plateaued.
They're looking for massive gains, and they only get massive gains by making these stupid bubbles, which end up popping.
Yeah,
that's how they make their money, is by building these stupid firms up into massive. I don't say Twitter is a stupid firm, but that they'll put their money into some stupid idea. It will grow because everyone will get stupidly excited about it, and then it'll all pop.
But they're doing the things that we don't like. You know, they're hacking off developers. You know, they're basically saying, you know, the best app, even though it's not the best app, will be ours because we'll, you know, cut things off. But there's even like auto playing videos and stuff just now, you know, which is like, you don't want to be streaming, you know, just flicking through and auto play video pops. But it's all about adverts. I mean, Instagram's the same, Facebook's the same.
Yeah, no, they do it, which doesn't always lead to a savory experience, shall we say. Yeah, they're also twisting they're getting behind the messaging idea. So this is clearly over the last, I guess, a few months, Twitter's been pushing towards messaging, whether it be the ability to now message someone without actually being the follower and all those kind of things. They've now going to remove the character limit. So they're very much more like the Facebook Messenger app, like your WhatsApp, things like that. So obviously this is a big change as far as their own storage algorithms go, plus any apps that, you know, used to working with that kind of messaging system, they're going to have to cope now with, you know, potentially thousands and thousands of characters rather than 140 limit.
That was a bizarre thing. I mean, I think everybody's used to 140 limit, and they've done things like making it a bit more seamless to put links in and you know, quote tweets without punishing you. But the DMs can now go up to 10,000 characters, which is...
Well, it's a massive change. So it's almost like there are two sides to their business then, because they're not going to change the microblogging side of things, which is understandable. The whole reason it's supposed to be a microblogging platform is that limit. But yeah, inside messages, they've realized that's just a limitation too far. And why not let people write books in it?
It's almost like they've taken too long, and now they're starting to try and shift quickly, but I think it's probably too late.
I don't think it's too late. They're still massive.
It's always too late.
And they've certainly got, you know, when... Across all your TV, whenever you mention, it's Facebook, Twitter handles they give, right? Login as a login service, it's Facebook and Twitter by a long way as the most popular.
No, that's true, but I just
services.
Meant as a messaging platform, I just don't think, I think there's other things that are now embedded in people's heads, you know, WhatsApp's there, you know, Facebook Messenger's there. I just can't see the DM side of it becoming a competitor to that. They'll have a good niche market.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Google has been told by a French watchdog or a basic court that they've got to expand their privacy delisting. So up till now, whenever Google's had this right to privacy or right to be forgotten applied, it's only ever applied it in the country domain that's come from. So for example, if it came from a French court, they would remove the listing from Google.fr. If it came from the UK, they'd remove it from .co.uk. And obviously, that doesn't remove it from the main .com domain, where they, the American domain, where they have never had to Well, there's no court order that says they have to do that. It's only Europe. But the French court has now deemed that it's not enough just to remove from FR. They'll have to remove it also from the .com. No announcement yet by Google as to what they're going to do about this, whether they are, they potentially could face proceedings if they do not remove these listings from the .com.
It's we must, I'm sure we said this at the time, that this is only going to get worse. You know, when it first started in Spain, I think it was, and then it started spreading across Europe. It was like, this isn't, you know, the kind of, it's almost like the workaround, which was, it was only in that, you know, particular dot country's extension. It was, that's not going to stand. And I'd...
Google are right, though. They're saying there's a very small percentage of people that do just deviate to a different domain if they're specifically looking for results. Yeah. You know, it is a very small percentage of traffic.
I thought, and related to this, and I just think it's one of these things. I think all the big search companies are going to eventually have to do this. You know, it's just the legal.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that it is only Google and the fact they're having to self-manage it.
It's just going to end up that's the way it's going to be. BBC this week, actually, I've got a site now where they will list the articles where they've had to delist from Google.
so actually, it's worse because for those people that want to be forgotten now, people go there to look. What the hell are you delisting and why?
I just took a look at a random, you know, 8 or 9, and 3/4 of them were all sex offence people, and it was like, God. You know, and it was like, this was the thing, you know, at the time it was like, you know, people were saying, well, I shouldn't have to be tarnished, my reputation tarnished by, an article that's maybe wrong. It's like, but these were people that were done in court. I don't know, there's still that bit of me that says, you did wrong, and see if it's out there in public, so...
It's a different world we live in now, though, where, you know, that wouldn't have been a case in the past and all that kind of stuff. And if it was, especially if it was, you know, maybe articles about a court before, you know, and it didn't go through court and you were incorrectly accused or whatever, that could still hamper you. I think that was more the idea behind it, right?
But the bit that frustrates me is it still feels a hack that they are removing your ability to find it rather than removing the page itself.
Sure.
You know, and that's a bit that never felt right for me. It was like all Google's doing is indexing the web, like they've always said.
What is out there? Yeah.
And this is just a horrible hack.
Google's also stepped up ability to crack down on revenge porn. So they've actually using this similar kind of this similar process basically to remove images, videos from online listings if it's requested.
And I guess this is the inverse of what we've just been talking about. This is a good thing. And I mean, UK are about to do some better laws around revenge porn, so it's good to see Google getting ahead of the game.
Yeah, so we got, because you know the system's already there, so let's use it for that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
LastPass, I had this email come ping through to my inbox worryingly. So so LastPass has been hacked basically. Hackers made off with customer data, including hashed main master passwords. There's no, you know, according to LastPass, they'd still have to work hard to try and break those hashes. But nevertheless, those are out in the wild now. I don't have what was their recommendation? Was it to change details and stuff?
They said you really only have to update your master password rather than updating everything. But then I think they started talking about enabling two-factor authentication, and also you should have random passwords for all your different services. So the usual good password advice.
I think if you're using LastPass, you should probably be on two-factor already. I think it's an easy thing to set up nowadays, so do it.
The two-factor stuff, I mean, I think all the big services now support it. It's just it just feels a pain when you have to, you know, because even like recently I've been messing around with different Twitter accounts, and when you log in again, it's like, oh, we want to send you a text message, and you're like, oh.
You're right. It can be a pain. I think it's a reason why it's a pain that we've got to get on with it. And it is nice when you get a message saying someone tried to log in, you know, from this location, they haven't been able to.
Yes.
Was that you? And you can say, no, that wasn't me, whatever. So it's kind of nice to get that kind of bit of security going.
Every so often, the two services it happened again today for me was Spotify. So I had about 8 emails from Spotify saying, click on this link to reset your password. If you didn't request this, don't worry. So clearly somebody thinks that the username I've got is their username, because I think you do it by username rather than email address. And it's the kind of thing, it's like, I wish you could put a nice message and say, this is mine, it's not yours.
Yeah.
And Evernote was the one that somebody every 2 or 3 months, I get a flurry of messages. So I guess somebody thinks, again, that my account is their account. I hope. And it's not.
The worrying thing here is that LastPass is, you know, their whole business model is security, right?
Do you use LastPass? Is that your right? Okay. So the reason I said that is you got the email. I got the email as well because I tried it out. I just wanted to try it, but I don't actually have anything there. You know, I've got one or two passwords. I just wanted to see how it worked and how it all felt. But I'm one password user rather than LastPass. So,
well, that might not be any more safe.
No.
Who knows? Does one pass use the main keychain? Because Apple, someone's identified an iOS and OS X, OS 10, zero-day flaw, basically, which is by using some malicious sort of code, whatever, you can view the keychain on a Mac across all their devices, which is a bit worrying, really. So carefully programmed. And they've even released software onto the Apple store to prove that you can get it past their vetting process as well. So the exploit was announced to them 6 months ago. Apparently it's quite fundamental, so that's why they haven't been able to fix it within 6 months, because apparently the bug is still there. And people have come out and said, I say people, Google come out and said that they don't think it's possible to actually solve this at the fundamental level. So they've removed it.
Yeah, so AgileBits, the developers of 1Password, and they say they can't see a way to protect against the exploit, but they've not done anything to, because their software is a fundamental user of this.
So it's just built into that, yeah.
Yep. Google's Chromium security team, they again said they believe it's impossible to protect, and they removed keychain integration for Chrome.
From Google's point of view, it's within their interest to make that announcement in a way. But anyway, maybe from 1Password, which is very much not in their interest to say that. I think that is an interesting analogy. So I think they're going to have to fundamentally rethink that then at the base level about how they're going to fix and put in place a new keychain.
And the advice is basically just be careful what you install, which is probably the same advice that's always been there. But
it's very, very easy to say that.
Yeah, because it
can... And hard to manage it in real life.
Absolutely, because you just don't know. You can rely on, if I download like OpenMU, that they're using a whole lot of libraries and that nobody's managed to sneak something into one of those libraries.
There's so many different layers now that go into developing, and it doesn't take the actual releaser to have put the malicious software in there.
No. Anyway.
It just takes a government that wants to look at things. Microsoft Office for Android has now been announced. They did say they were going to do this, and now they have actually released it. So you can now get Office on the Android devices. Taking them a little bit longer, but actually still not that long.
No,
6 months lag or something like that?
Yep. And again, the Office apps and iOS are really good. You know, so initially when they came out, it was you could do read-only. And then after a few weeks, they said, actually, you can do kind of like, you know, bare-bones editing. And bare-bones editing for most people is enough.
Is all they actually need to do. Yeah.
You know, it's back to that whole, that's why I think there's been a plethora of, you know, these minimal text editors, because a lot of people just want to edit text. They don't want to get caught up in...
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, how times change? Because it used to be that you wanted that DTP software because you wanted to play around and you wanted to do this, that and the other, and not just type plain old, you know, word processor stuff. Everyone's come right back to, it's word processor stuff because that can be used anywhere. You know, I can reuse that wherever I want to.
And there's a kind of thing about, you know, like your content's more important than your style on it. And I think you can get carried away sometimes. I know I can. You get worried about, this, you know, that stuff over there looks better than this. And it's like, actually, it's the message that goes over, not...
With all the kind of new, you know, web page reader software and stuff like that, which strips away all that gumph anyway, exactly, and just leaves you with the text, and that a lot of people end up, that's their favorite way of consuming that kind of data.
Absolutely.
Kindle, a new Paperwhite e-reader, slightly different fonts being developed, at $119. Good for them. This has been, you know, a sleeper hit for them, really. It's quite widely used and hooks into all of their book buying software. I'm sure they're making quite a lot of money out of it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so £109 UK. And when I was on the flight I was on through the week, there was two people that just in my local vicinity all had Kindles.
I ended up giving my mum my old Kindle that I never ended up using. And it's a properly old one, so it's not even... Like, she loves it for taking it on holiday. It means that you don't have to fill your suitcase up with
a ton
of books.
You know, dead easy to buy a book before you go rather than buying physical books and taking up loads of room. So you can stock up in like six or seven books dead easy. And if you're a Prime user, you get that Kindle Lending library as well.
Yeah, get Lending stuff. It's all good. YouTube has come out in, I guess it's competition with Twitch, for gaming, live game streaming and gaming sort of videos. Have they given it a name? It's just YouTube Gaming.
Yeah, it's no more than that.
Okay, because Twitch have got this kind of sewn up at the moment. That's the one that seemed to go, you know, Microsoft and PlayStation both with Sony both went with that as their kind of video provider of choice, and YouTube and now said, right, we want to get some of this action because quite frankly we get loads of views on these videos that we have on our website, our service, so let's put a bit more contain around it.
I mean the view count is amazing. You know, so yes. And that's on their kind of standalone videos, but also for Twitch. I'm just looking through it. They were saying that for at the end of 2014, there's 100 million monthly audience for live and archive game streams. So it's a massive market. And I think, I mean, it was always in the cards. YouTube have done a lot of effort to try and do the 60 frames per second and doing, you know, like DVR and also converting streams so that you don't have to do very much. So it was all kind of there. But they've now, this is them just now actually putting a kind of face on it and a brand.
Yeah.
And the bit I loved was, so they tweeted, you know, YouTube Gaming, a new player has entered the game. And Twitch then replied on Twitter with a welcome player to add me on Google Plus, which is total, get it right up you. Yeah. It was just, I loved it.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I have to say, whenever I've watched a Twitch stream, it's just full of twazics. I mean, they're not really very good to listen to. They talk out there.
You are deliberately generalizing. Most of them are an acquired taste. I've actually sat and been quite entertained by quite a few of them. So.
All right, maybe they're out there and I just haven't come across them. But
no, I think it depends. It's like when I find, let's see, like Halo's come out, see you watching some of the kind of better Halo players playing, and you just realise it's like, yeah, okay, that was good.
That's why they kill me every 2 milliseconds.
Yeah. But you get to see, obviously, and that's the whole benefit of it, you get to see how other people are doing stuff. And I mean, I don't get the whole watching. And obviously, it's a different generation. But see, the whole kids watching Minecraft while playing Minecraft is just like
it's a different generation. So, there's learning going on, though, isn't there, in that sort of things where, how do I make that trigger? How do I make this, that, and the other? And so there's an element of learning. Maybe we'll see. Right, that is the end of the news. And instead of doing our picks, we're going to talk about E3. It's very exciting. So we're going to talk about gaming. So well done for getting this far. I think we'll go down the main headlines that got released. So it's a little while back, so I'm sure you've all heard of it anyway. But let's talk about what got covered. So we'll start with Xbox. I don't know. Do you want to just pick out your favourite bits, or do you want? I'm happy to cover off what Xbox covered.
Go on, let's go.
Let's go. Halo 5.
Yay!
So October 27th. It looked amazing. They're sort of saying everything's bigger and better. Now, I don't always agree that bigger is better, but nevertheless, they're saying they've got these big maps. They've got 4 times bigger than they've ever been able to create before. 24-player, they're calling them war zones. So they're obviously all with, I'm sure, alongside all the sort of standard game modes that we've had previously, they've got these larger kind of battlefield-esque scenarios going on. Yeah.
So me and you both like the beta, which was far better than the Master Chief Collection, which was a bit of a...
Well, I like playing the single player in that. I didn't like playing the multiplayer because it went wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sure if we went back to it, it'd be fine now.
Yeah, the multiplayer in this looks spot on. The Warzone stuff looked good. Maps, again, I'm not too fussed about size until, to me, it's all about whether they play in and whether it works. You know, it's like back to that whole GTA.
I often find the big maps are the most depressing ones because it's all about that headshot from a very long way away.
Yeah. The bit that worried me was, and it wasn't covered in these notes, but there's kind of in-app purchasing, if I call it that. And they said that it doesn't impact multiplayer gaming, but there is some bits where it does. So you could, because you basically, the more you play, you earn other credits, and those other credits buy you weapons that you can use during the game, and you can pay to get those.
Yeah, okay.
And it's like, so I'm going to get hacked off if I'm going to be, you know, up against...
If you have to feel like you've got to get those credits. Yeah. Yeah, you'll get the credits anyway. In my mind, there is definitely a game model out there where the better you are, the worse weapons you get. Yeah, as you get better, you get less and less weapons.
And I know,
still win.
I know what you're saying, but I don't know.
You get the prestige of having these amazing levels, and I'm still owning your ass. I reckon there's a game mode in there somewhere.
The problem is, and I'm surprised, a Call of Duty hasn't done it already. You know, just to say there's a standard one, because you know how they always have like 8 or 9 different modes. But there's one in there that's
have the reverse. Yeah,
that is a total brag. Something, call it something, that you're going to get a big head over it. And it'll be I went in with a pea shooter and you had a rocket launcher and I still won.
Exactly. Anyway, we'll see whether that ever happens. Backward compatibility was a major announcement for them. Got a big whoop and a holler in the hall. A lot of excitement coming out. Basically, they are emulating an Xbox 360 on top of the Xbox One. And basically, you will drop your game into the drive, and it won't actually use that game in any way. It actually goes and downloads a separate version from the internet, which you have to install. So you need space on your drive, but it will allow you to play what they're saying is going to be a wide range of games, because it's actually emulating the hardware. It's not rejigging each of the game's code to do this. It's actually emulating this hardware, which allows them hopefully to bring a massive range of the old games. And there are still about 4 games that I have for Xbox 360, which I always said I wanted to complete or even get going on, and I never did. So I'm kind of looking forward to them being available for me to play.
Yeah, I never see the big thing, but as you say, it seems to be a big tick in the box, and certainly one that Sony turned around and said, "We're surprised by this. We aren't doing anything like it." So they are almost.
It was a big one. And Microsoft said at the time they didn't think it was going to be possible, but they went down the avenue anyway, and they figured out a way. And the first videos that I've seen looks like identical gameplay. Yeah. It doesn't look like it's suffered in any way.
So I think if you're on the kind of beta dashboard program, which I can't remember what it's called, but you can get a new dashboard already, and you can start downloading backward compatible games. So there's I think they said 16 available now, and they hope to have 100 by Christmas,
which would be good. Fallout 4, that sort of leaked slightly before the actual E3 conference.
Looks really impressive.
It looks impressive, and it looks like more of the same kind of idea, and probably just what they'd say is bigger, better, and all those kind of things. It was one of those games where I always thought I was going to really enjoy it. I think at Fallout 3 I started playing, and it did have big elements of enjoying it, but then I got stuck in a couple of places that felt impossible to get out of or get through. And then once I find that with a game, and I'm
done,
that's it for me. I can't go and replay it to get out of that area and all those kind of things. So yeah, it's
and I guess the
fingers crossed that. But it gets so much critical acclaim. It must be an amazing game in there.
Yeah, and the big thing was it was the mods that usually only a PC owner's kind of domain are coming to the console.
Yeah, so if you build a mod for the PC that's successful, they will port some of them over onto the Xbox One, so you'll be able to play them. So that's pretty big stuff. That's the first time we've seen that for Fallout, and in fact, many games don't have. I don't think we've seen that really.
Nope.
Forza Motorsport 6 September. More of the same. This time with dynamic weather.
No, not dynamic.
And 24. Oh, sorry. Yeah, apologies. It's changeable weather, but not dynamic during the race. 24-person multiplayer is what they're shouting about.
I'm not sure. The reason is that Drivatar stuff. You know, so you're going to get 6 players, but there's another 18 that are all Drivatars.
We'll see when it comes out. I think they're probably using the cloud properly now, so they have 24-person servers. Carnage Fests, I think they're also known as. But anyway. We'll see. It's always big when Forza announce it, because they always come up with a good game. So September 15th for that. Rainbow Six Siege is the next Rainbow Series game. They're also releasing they're going to send out Rainbow Six Vegas and Vegas 2 for free as part of that big package. It's again, they're such a big franchise that it's great to see it come back. Tailed off for me. Got a bit repetitive.
It got repetitive, and I was getting hacked off when they started adding in, a guy can be at the front with a shield and do all these different things. But I think there's something sufficiently different about it that they could do something. You know, it could be a really nice game compared to,
it was such a hardcore game as well. That's the other thing about it. You could spend most of your night dead.
But the Battlefield,
waiting for everyone else to finish.
Call of Duty, all the big ones have become a bit of a blur. You know, there's not much between them.
No.
And even this year's Call of Duty looks like they've went far more. They've almost looked at like Titanfall and where people are going with that, and have said, "Yeah, we'll just start cutting out physics now, so you can do loads of crazy things." And I was like, "Oh, okay. I think I'll score that off my list."
EA Access. It's kind of already off mine, unfortunately. EA Access. Yes, so they've actually offered it free to users for a week, and they're adding bigger games again. So Titanfall's now coming. That's sort of tailed off a lot now. It's amazing how quick big massive releases like that tail off. We played that religiously for quite a few months, and then it just goes, doesn't it? Dragon Age Inquisition getting added. This is a great game for EA Access. I can't remember how much their monthly or their yearly fee is.
I've signed up for this because
you've done it now, right?
And it's all, I think it works out at £18 or £20 for the year.
Yeah, so when you think that you're getting a game like Dragon Age, if that interests you and you haven't already bought it, and Titanfall for that matter, you know, if you wanted those games and just haven't got around to buying them, this is probably the cheapest way of doing that.
And the reason I did it was about a month ago they added on last year's FIFA and Madden, and I know we're only like 3 months away from this year's, but I was like, that's fantastic. Yeah. I'll have that.
Xbox One Elite controller. I don't think anyone announced this before. It didn't really seem to leak beforehand. So this is just an enhanced controller. It's going to work across PC and Xbox One. Allows you to change parts. Has paddles at the back. Is basically a better built quality, and allows you to do some sort of pro stuff like having hair triggers, so you can click it so that it pulls the trigger, you know, much more readily. I think have they got repeatable buttons as well, things like that.
Yeah, so you can program what buttons do what. So
you remember all the old NES controllers that they used to go out religiously, had auto fire.
It was all the Mad Cat stuff that came out, and it was like, especially like for Street Fighter, there was a whole load of like little things you could do.
I have to say, the original Xbox controllers, I always thought, you know, the really, really original ones were so well made. I think the latest ones do feel a bit more cheap, and maybe this is back to a bit more of a solid feel. It certainly looks like it's going to be a pretty robust animal.
And the pricing came out afterwards, $150.
Wow.
So it's quite...
No wonder it comes with a carry bag.
Yeah. So,
I'm not spending $150.
And it's funny, me and Paul have just been talking about how we're buying. We've already burned through to PS4 controllers just playing golf.
<They're> just because it's getting too unsensitive, man. Does it really make a difference?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So maybe this is your saving.
Maybe it's in my head.
Yeah. Okay. Well. I'm sure it'll sell. You can reprogram stuff as well. I think you can move buttons around if you want to. So if the game doesn't offer you that facility, I think the controller can deal with it for you.
And Sony offered that in the last dashboard update. Did it across the whole platform, which is quite a big thing to add in. And obviously Xbox are doing it around this particular controller rather than the whole platform.
It'd be interesting to know what you can use the paddles for. I guess you can use them for anything. I guess that's the whole point. But having paddles at the back feels like a new thing. Maybe we'll see that going forward as a thing,
gear changes sometimes, you know, they don't feel the best on the actual buttons, you know, and that.
Yeah, but where the gear changes and using the triggers, I don't know, the trigger's still there. I think the triggers are still there, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, until you hold it and feel it, I guess that's the whole point of this. You're supposed to get hold of it and see what it feels like. Xbox Game Preview Service. So this is kind of getting on board of the Kickstarter type thing. So you can actually buy games before they're actually released and you get early access to the kind of preview codes, and you can even influence development. But yeah, basically jumping on board with these kind of early access Kickstarter type projects that they're going on. They've got a service now that does that, and people have sort of signed up to it already.
Elite Dangerous is already out. So you pay £25. I have bought it, and it plays just like the Mac and PC version. But it's not the official game yet, so there's still quite a bit to add in.
Yeah. Xbox One dashboard update. They talked about a massive new update to it, including full Cortana. Cortana integration seems to be everywhere at the moment from Microsoft, so they're putting that into the dashboard. For everything that I've read about this new dashboard, it very much sounds like they're trying to reintroduce the blades that we had on Xbox One.
Yep.
the original Xbox. And long may that continue with overlays that ping over the top of games to do some bits and bobs that you want to actually get done rather than having to go all the way back to the dashboard. All the kind of mistakes they made with their whole kind of interface philosophy they appear to be going back on, which is great, great news if they can bring this forward.
Absolutely.
So good for them. Rare announced a replay, like, compendium of games. I thought we'd well past compendiums of games, but apparently not. So you can buy 30 games for I think that's in $30, so I guess it's going to probably end up being 30 quid our end. If you like old Rare games, living off... I mean, how many times could they resell their games? It's amazing.
And some of the games...
they haven't really come up with anything recently, have they?
No, and that's been... Because Rare have such a... It's one of these kind of... They've got such a big name. You know, if you've been gaming for
still,
20
even,
years...
Still, even now, even though they've done nothing for, like, the last 10, and they're still
massive.
Well,
Microsoft turned them into, like, a Kinect studio, and it was like, the Kinect sucks. You know, so they've really been almost curtailed.
They've been hampered. Yeah.
So Rare Replay, I mean, it's like, you know, there's Banjo-Kazooie, there's Blast Corps, I remember, RC Pro-Am. So there's some, you know, big games in there but it is from 20, 25 years ago that were big games.
Everything's moved on so far.
Yep. You know, if you play an emulator, you know, game, you know the limitation, because in your head it was like, that was fantastic, and you play it again, you're like, oh.
It's like going back to the original Xbox, and I think I'd said at the time when
Master Chief,
the original Halo.
Yeah,
how I was playing it and thinking, look how bad these graphics are, and then I realised I was playing on the enhanced, massively updated graphics. And when I actually went back to the original graphics, it's like, no, this wasn't what I did, and it was.
And pacing. Bonkers. What got me was the pacing difference was massive.
Yeah. We always view games of old games in very different light. Like I say, it's just strange they don't kind of come up with new stuff rather than, again, regurgitating old stuff. And like I say, Rare kind of, as soon as they got bought out by Microsoft, a lot of stories came out about how what a rubbish place it was to work for anyway, because it was just this mess. And Microsoft never grabbed hold of it and walked with it. I can't remember the couple of games they came up with. Viva Pinata was one. I guess that was mildly successful.
But there was, I'm sure
there was a couple of other ones.
Was it not Kinect Sports? So when the first Kinect came out, I'm sure they're the one behind Kinect Sports.
I can't remember.
And it's maybe. Like...
Then we had some other sort of announcement. Rise of the Tomb Raider, blah. So I'm sure it's going to be good. Gears of War Ultimate Edition, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be. Gears of War 4. Gears of War 4. I totally lost. Gears of War just bores me now.
Yeah, but
I thought the first game was pretty technically excellent, right? Yeah. But they never broke away, and even the multiplayer was all right.
The multiplayer was just average, I felt. But the main game was set piece.
Just bull crap. Yeah. I mean, it was set piece after set piece. I even tried it once. You could literally sit there and not really do anything, and you still get through the whole sequence. Mm. And it's like, there's no jeopardy here. It's just one big thing after another, and I'm not really. I'm just watching a video game, watching a video, and occasionally pressing a button. Anyway, there we go. And I don't think they ever got away from that. It just bored me, and it still does now. All these big games like Modern Warfare, where you have all these just massive set pieces and stuff. It's like, bored. Mm. No. Oh, and HoloLens. We've got to talk about HoloLens, because they did their first proper demo using Minecraft, and it was impressive. So they basically used the HoloLens to project a Minecraft game onto a tabletop. And it kind of showed everyone what it could be, because from the video that we were watching from a camera's point of view, using that kind of HoloLens technology, it did look amazing. This thing that wasn't there was on this table, and you could manipulate it and move it and go and look at it and get closer. And I'm sure actually wearing it would feel even more immersive and spectacular.
Well, I think it was good because the previous demo they'd done, and they showed you it through this other camera, it gave the impression you were seeing loads all around about you, and everybody saying, no, you get this little window in front of you.
Yeah.
And I think when I was watching it, I was like, so I can still see how probably bits are falling off, but that looked a more realistic presentation of what it'll actually be. You know, it was almost like they scaled it down and said, it'll work in this kind of size.
And you can suddenly see how a designer, like they did in their kind of previews, like a designer could be working in a 3D CAD bit of software and have that model in real time rendered to a left-hand side, which they can look around, they can see physically the effects they're having by changing this, that, and the other. You can really, there's a real thing there that's different. It's different from virtual reality headset, right? You're not in the world.
No.
It's part of your world.
Yes.
So that's the difference. There's two different angles. And I think it's interesting. whether Minecraft on your tabletop is the only real use for this, maybe that's what it ends up being. But nevertheless, it's pretty spectacular.
And they showed you work alongside, you know, video commands. So again, it was that you weren't tied to a PC and having to use it. Cortana was doing all that kind of, you know, do this and do that, and you could see it, and it was working. And I'll bring up my super excited quote. I might get a demo of it in the next 5 or 6 weeks.
That will be super exciting.
I would be super excited.
All right, Sony said some stuff as well. Should we skip past them? No, we better not. The problem is I'm just so not ingrained in the Sony universe that some of these things don't mean much to me. Last Guardian's back. Is that exciting?
So Last Guardian is from Team Ico. So they, and this game has been talked about since 2009.
Okay.
This was, you know, this is from the people that did Shadows
Duke
of Colossus.
Duke Nukem, wasn't that about 2000? Yeah.
So this has been continually talked about. It was supposed to be a PS3 game, then it was a PS4 game. In the last couple of years, it was almost like, we've got nothing to say about this. And it's a running joke that everybody's saying, surely this will be the year. And this was the year that they've said, actually, next year, Last Guardian will be out. And they showed you some new gameplay. And if it's as good as the last two games, it will be, you know, one of the few titles now I'd say is like AAA. You know, it's got that expectation about it that it's like, that is an amazing game.
Long brewed games like this, that, you know, often it's not a good sign, but occasionally it can be a very, very good sign.
But that is the worry about it, that you're coming up for almost 10 years. And it's like, that's a long, I mean, because Duke Nukem was never...
Yeah, it just never happened properly. Horizon Zero Dawn.
This actually looks pretty good. This is from the team that have done. What was the first person shooter that was always rivaling all the Xbox ones?
Killzone.
Yeah. So this is from the Killzone games. I never thought were that great, but graphically were astounding.
Some people loved them.
Oh, but
yeah, some people
graphics,
actually loved them. Yeah.
And they got done. I think it was on when the PS3 first came out. The first Killzone or the second Killzone. The graphics they showed at E3 compared to, basically they showed you pre-rendered nonsense, and yes, they said this is real. This isn't pre-rendered,
and
it was.
And
like,
they couldn't live up to it.
They couldn't match it. And
they also at that time were suffering from the fact that they were well behind Xbox on the live service, and that's, you know, that's another reason it never really caught on, because there was no consistent headset or anything like that, so it was a very, very different experience.
And it showed the whole stuff on PS3 showed, but this actually looked really good. This looked, you know, again, fantastic looking game. So yeah, it's interesting.
Okay, Dreams allowing you to create stuff and paint with your DualShock. Wow.
And no.
Okay. Final Fantasy VII is the remake is now coming to PlayStation 4, so they're going to regurgitate again and ping it out there.
I'm kind of, there's two things that kind of like hack me off about games at the moment. It's the remakes. We have turned into, it's like almost like the game industry. It's not just like version 2 or version 4 of a game. You know, it's not like it's another Mario game, but they're doing something different with it. It's like, we're just going to remake what we had before. You know,
the film industry does it though, don't they? They've realised they can make money out of this, and it's easy money.
But the remakes just feel a bit. The remakes aren't too far off. You know, by Blade Runner director's cut on Blu-ray for the first time.
That's exactly the model they're going for, because they know enough people will do it.
I don't know. It's just becoming a bit. This was one of the big ticks of the Sony show, because a lot of people thought Final Fantasy VII was the best of the Final Fantasy series.
Yeah,
but no.
No, and it's got such a massive gathering of people that love that game that,
absolutely,
you know, again, it'll get enough people interested. So yeah. No Man's Sky did a bit of a demo, showed you him zooming off into the galaxy to go and land on a planet that had never been seen before the demo.
I still
interesting.
Yeah.
Still interested.
I am. There's just something about it that hooks me, and yes, I'm still super excited. Disappointing that there's no release date, because you're like, does that
mean they're still promising that is coming soon now, aren't they?
And then afterwards, in an interview about 2-3 days later, they said we were going to announce the release date, but for some reasons we couldn't do it this time, but we'll do it soon. So Gamescom's, I think, is only 3 or 4 weeks away. I guess they're going to do it there.
I can't still help feeling this is a technology demo which they've tried to make a game out of, and they would have been better releasing it ages ago as a technology demo. They probably would have.
Time would tell.
They're just trying to find a use for this engine they've got.
I'm not as down on it as that. I think I could see lots of people saying, you know, because the 5-minute demo they did wasn't the best. And the guy was like super nervous, which doesn't help when you're doing demos. If you appear nervous, it kind of, you know, it's a bit, you know, faltered and stuff. And then there was some journalists saying, still don't see the point of this. But then they were doing like half hour demos with journalists afterwards, and they were all like, oh, I get it now. This is actually really nice. I still think it's one of those that the danger is you'll buy it, you'll like it for the first hour or two, and then think,
yeah, there's nothing. That's it. I'm more than interested in seeing it. I'm more than interested. I am not 100% convinced that this will be a game. Shenmue 3.
Oh.
Kickstarter project.
So did you ever play Shenmue back in the day?
Nah.
So I played Shenmue in the Dreamcast, and it was great, but it was one of the first ones that really relied heavily on the like they called the quick time actions, you know, like press X now.
Yeah, A, B, 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 A, A, A.
Yeah, all that nonsense. And the bit that was weird about this was it was part of the keynote, but it's a Kickstarter.
Yes, so it's they're looking for money.
And Sony have said that they will put some money in, but they're not going to fund it all. But also the guy has said that to do the game justice, he's looking for $10 million.
Yeah, and that's why they'll still be, you know, that's why publishing houses are still needed. That's why EA still are there. You know, there's such massive amount of money because that's quite a low budget game, probably. You know, who knows?
And it made the $2 million within about 2 days.
Okay, so there's enough interest still going.
So it's at $3.7 million with 19 days to go. So there's probably a chance it might double it, because I think what usually happens is it trickles, and then the last sort of day or two, it then, you know,
gets another publicity push.
Yeah. Yeah.
But all right, well, there you go.
Strange.
But December 2017.
But also, this is like 2.5 years away.
Yeah, it's a long time to wait to put your money up now. And I guess they've got their fans, but the chances are they found all those fans already and they've put the money in. So.
And there's been some really noticeable games where people have put money in and it's just not delivered and they don't get a refund. Yeah. It's just like...
No, of course they don't.
Can't do this. It's never worked out. Thanks.
It's you know, and if you need 10 million to make, as he's saying, to do it justice, then if you only end up 4, then what are you going to get? Quarter of a game?
Yeah.
Yeah. World of Final Fantasy. So I guess this is, not having got the details, is this like a MMO type thing?
Yeah.
Basically, okay, fair enough. It's probably a big enough franchise to hook people in. There we go. PlayStation is going to be the new home of Call of Duty. So basically all those exclusives that used to go to Xbox, maps early, maps, you know, additional maps at release and those kind of things. That's now going to go to PlayStation, just as the little tides turn. Now it's going to Sony. So everyone on Sony can rejoice and stick that up everyone else's backside. it's one of those, it's still going to be released on both. The maps will probably eventually come out on both. It is a timing thing, isn't it? And yeah, but there you go. Call of Duty, like I said, for me, these games are sort of slowly fading in their interest.
Mm.
They're not as exciting as they once were. Firewatch. What's that all about?
This is like a kind of graphic adventure style game. Looks amazing. And I guess the reason I was interested in this is there are some of the folk behind Panic Software, who make some great Mac apps, are behind this as well. And there's also a few... There's been a couple of... So Ollie Moss, I don't know if you've heard of Ollie Moss, who does some great posters. He used to do some stuff in Empire every month, a kind of alternative poster. Just an amazing, you know, amazing brain, great attention to detail, very inventive. So he's doing the graphics behind it. And it just looks really good. And I guess it's one of these things that will take time. But it looks like it's only coming out in PS4 from a console perspective. But it'll be out on Mac, Windows and Linux for some reason.
Uncharted 4 looked pretty spectacular, as they always do.
But this did look really good.
Okay. Uncharted's another one of those series where, again, quick action button presses, a lot of set pieces, a lot of this, that, and the other. And again, I lost interest when I got stuck at a point I couldn't get by.
Yeah, I agreed, but I really enjoyed the previous Uncharted, so yeah, super excited.
Morpheus... Not much more to tell us about this, really. They didn't really do much.
There wasn't much at the keynote. They seemingly did lots afterwards, and I think there's this realization that it's quite a difficult thing to demo. It's a bit like Oculus. It's like, unless you actually put the headset on and you're inside it, it's not immediately obvious. There was a game called Riggs, which was a kind of competitive sports arena type game, which did look very impressive. And all they said was still on track for early next year, but there was no pricing apart from before E3 saying it will be hundreds of dollars. Don't think this is a, you know, $100 headset. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, are you going to turn and say £400 or £500? I don't know.
Or have that's a big investment if they do.
Have they put out a really kind of high price so that when they under deliver on that, they're like, oh, it's much cheaper than everybody thought. I don't know.
I had a friend of the show, Adam. He said the other day that this first person view that they've now got in GTA, that could be directly Morpheus related. Can you imagine being in a Grand Theft Auto game playing first person? I mean, that's the ultimate evolution of the Grand Theft Auto series, right? We started from that up top down.
Yeah, absolutely. View. And honestly, it's such, for me, it was such a better game with the first person view than it ever was third. I do not like third person views in games.
And then it made it so immersive that it really was a city. And the latest one is just incredible. And then put yourself in as first. Can you imagine the mirror headlines? hundreds of people going around with these headsets on, actually swinging baseball bats at people's heads.
There was headlines already this year when the kind of GTA 5 came out for PS4 and the Xbox One. When you could do the first person mode, you were like, oh, so you're first person like doing whatever.
But yeah, the headlines are not going to be pretty. And it's going to be hard to justify. Yeah, I'm this person gangster walking down the street and I just decided to punch a granny in the face.
Yeah. The surprising thing was the Oculus. The amount of games that they showed and they weren't first person. They were third person.
Yes. It's interesting, isn't it?
And there was something about, you know, people are, you know, it's I think they've now that they've been playing it for a while, it was this... It's not actually that comfortable, and some people are really put off. But Morpheus seemed to be saying, no, for things like rigs, it was definitely first person, and you were...
There are going to be plenty of people that get motion sickness in these games, and I think that's what they're trying to get. You know, maybe they're trying to preempt that a bit.
I think also that the only thing against Grand Theft Auto, I'm not saying it's a total non-starter. I think a lot of the games are all going to be short timescales. They're all going to be play it for 20 minutes, play it for 10 minutes, play a track.
Because I don't think there's ever going to be a health warning that says you can play this for longer than 20 minutes without screwing your eyes up for long term.
So I think you're going to see things. I'm sure Rigs is all about 3-minute battles, and there's probably a good 3-4-minute gap between each one, you know, rather than, you know, we're always quickly into the next game. I think certainly at first they'll play it safe.
Nintendo said some stuff. They're basically all their old games they're going to regurgitate. I guess pretty much that's what everyone, all of them said, right?
Yeah,
the old games are going to make them big.
Nintendo seemed worse than anybody else. There was no new hardware, and that was the first thing. And certainly it was like the stuff they announced, I felt there was nothing new there. It was everything that had already been announced. I think the only one was
still
putting
on 3DS. Nevertheless, you know, they're still churning on.
On because of people like me buying Will and Yoshi amiibos for £20. That's where they're making all the money.
Mass Effect had got an announcement. So Andromeda is a new game.
So this is all as into, like, there's two other
EA,
publishers. Yeah. So there's EA and Ubisoft.
Let's skip through a lot of EA because a lot of it's just the same games regurgitated with better graphics. But anyway, Mass Effect Andromeda, that wasn't expected, I don't think, necessarily. I know they always said they were going to keep the franchise going, but there you go, this is the next one coming out. Need for Speed, blah, 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 blah. Sports, all the latest sports. I guess the biggest one is that they're regurgitating Tiger Woods into Rory McIlroy now. They've pretty much gone back to square one on that. So I guess Tiger franchise is now gone. And it had almost a comic edge to that, whereas they're kind of, it sounds maybe this one's going to be more serious.
Well, I thought that, and it talked about there's three different modes of hitting, but you could still do the kind of press buttons to apply spin in the air. So I was like, but they'd said we're using the Frostbite engine, so you can see the whole course at once. And I was thinking, okay.
Yeah, which is quite cool, yeah.
And then you see bits like there's lots of fantasy courses. So you'll be able to play in a battlefield-style course complete with ships and explosions.
Okay,
there's
so the comedy still
course with 100.
So it doesn't sound any difference at all then, really, does it?
It was like, no, I don't think I'll be buying that.
Anyway, and then all of the games that you can imagine that they've come announced, they've just announced bigger, better, swankier, with all the latest names.
I guess, Mirror's Edge. I was going to say, that was the one where it's maybe like, that did have a kind of really good following from the previous one. So interesting.
It was a real niche game, but everyone who played it loved it.
Yeah.
I never played it, but it was like the free running game, and it was a proper sleeper hit. There you go. And Star Wars Battlefront did look, again, pretty amazing.
And I know that's playing on all fanboys' emotions, and but
they look like they've done a proper job of it.
Exactly. Can't wait.
Yeah. Ubisoft, they also kind of churned out some of their Ghost Recon's coming back. Division, which we've been hearing about for ages, it's still not going to be available to next year. This was going to be an early release on next generation consoles, wasn't it?
So yeah,
this was going to be on release day for Xbox, but clearly they just haven't got a game properly finished. It seemed to get a lot of attention. It still looks interesting. It's all sort of double crossing.
What did you think of Ghost Recon out of interest? Because we loved it.
It looked like, problem is it looked like later Ghost Recon. I know they went through a sort of siege scenario, which looked quite interesting, but for me, Ghost Recon became more like the Call of Duty type franchises.
Yes.
A bit too much, and all gadgety.
All like, yes. And the thing is,
which it always will be, but it took away that core thing that we used to love about it.
Yeah. And the thing for me was, when I watched this, see if somebody had said this is a new Far Cry, I would have thought it was a new Far Cry. It was all out in the wilderness and lots of trekking around. But I
still have a soft spot for it.
So do I.
And I actually ended up enjoying playing those first-person games because I found them less set PC than the Call of Duties and whatever. So, yeah. Anything else?
No, I was just going to say, because we mentioned Fallout 4. And Doom was also shown as well.
Oh, Doom. That looked pretty gory.
It did. And this was what was called Doom 4 maybe a year or two ago, but it's now just called Doom. It's going to support multiplayer. And again, I just think back to it's 20 years ago, 22 years ago, 1993, I remember playing Doom. So 22
Absolutely.
Years.
Doesn't everyone? I mean, it's always got that soft spot. It was that first time. I know Wolfenstein did a bit, but Doom did the whole looking around thing properly, didn't it? It just got it right. And I know, Quake really nailed it, but Doom was definitely that.
So Doom was the first one, but it wasn't still proper. You still couldn't have things over the top.
You could
of
look
each
left,
other.
Right, and you could shoot things that were up in the air.
But it wasn't a fully proper 3D. Quake was fully 3D, but also Descent. Yeah. And I loved Descent, but lots of people never played it.
No, I never played that.
Ah, Descent.
There you go. But yeah, Doom would always have that soft spot, and what's wrong with shooting things from, hell? Nothing. Can't get the Daily Mail moaning about that, can you?
No.
And that is the end of the news and E3, unless you've got one other thing.
No, I was just going to, well, it was two things. I was going to say, do you think anything won E3? Lots of people were saying this was the best one for years.
There was quite a lot of excitement around it. When you actually go back and assess what it is the same things regurgitated. When you look at things like Morpheus and HoloLens, there's some interest there. Did anything win it? I don't think anything backward compatibility excited me a bit. I don't think anything won it outright, but the HoloLens was quite exciting.
I thought Xbox overall had the better show just because of backward compatibility. Yes, we're getting some blades back, and there's a far faster interface there. I just think there was generally a bit more about the Xbox one than there was the Sony one, which is a bit meh.
If Xbox can get their operating system back to scratch and really make it an easy and really simple... I mean, my problem is I think this might be patch on top of patch on top of patch. When really they need to absolutely fundamentally start from scratch and get rid of some of the architecture they're using, but that's going to be an impossible task now. So.
But then I think their architecture's allowed them to deliver the backwards compatibility. So there's obviously some benefits there.
Yeah, when you've got four operating systems running one on top of the other, why not add a fifth?
Exactly. And my other thing that I wanted to add before we close was I stupidly have a pick on the longest ever podcast.
Oh, well, we're doing all right. We're just with it just outside the hour. Sorry about that, everyone. There you go. Tough.
My pick is, I'm sure it's called Jestimer. This is a Mac app. So if you go to the show notes, I can't bother reading that out. It's in the Mac app store. So if you look for Jestimer, G-E-S-T-I-M-E-R. And this is actually one of these things. It was like, it's a reminders app. When I saw it, I was like, who needs another reminders app? Because there's already hundreds of them. But they've just got a really nice way of adding a gesture. It's not free, so it's $2.29. It sits in your taskbar. And just so you want a reminder for an hour's time, you go up, click an icon, drag down, and you just drag down. You don't have to type in a time. Drag down, yeah. And when you get to there, you release it, up pops a little thing, you type in what you wanted to be reminded, and it'll remind you. And it's like...
And if you want to be... Because obviously the line goes certainly... What if you want to be reminded of something in 6 months' time?
It's not...
I guess it's not meant for that.
It's not
There's
that
no screen
kind of,
bigger...
No.
There's no screen bigger than that. No, I like it. That's a clever idea. And then, yeah, so it's just the length of the line you drag down as to how far into the future you want to be reminded. So it's meant for, remind me to go to the... Grab that. Remind me this. When I'm at the end of the work, remind me that I'm at the end of work.
A lot of the time it is those things that are, you know, somebody's phone and it's like, oh, yeah, I'll call you in 20 minutes. And I'm guilty. I'm terrible for, I'll call you in 20 minutes. And then six hours later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember now. Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I like the look of it. Yeah, it's quite simple. Good stuff. Thank you very much. That's the end of the podcast then. Woo, well done. if you want to find out more about us, why wouldn't you? Digitaloutbox.com. You can email us info@digitaloutbox.com, and we're also on Twitter if you want digitaloutbox. I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK. I say I'm on Twitter. I have a Twitter account. Sort of sits there. It's quite happy. Blog is academyracer.co.uk for all my racing antics. A few weeks away till Coombe yet. Car's getting fixed. Ian, what about you?
My blog is iand.net. I'm on Twitter as Sweeper, and that's about it.
Wunderbar. Good. Thank you very much for listening this far. It's been a pleasure having you along, and we will talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'm just going to click stop.